Moncrief on News Talk.
If you buy something online, such as a film or a game, you don't own it in the same way that you might, say, own a pair of shoes. The online vendor that can pull that game or film from their service. A group called Stop Killing Games is attempting to convince the EU to do something about it. Emmett Ryan is a tech journalist with the Irish Times. Afternoon, Emmett.
How are you, Sean? Great to be here.
Okay, so explain to us, these are like digital products or something.
Essentially, yeah. So this all began because, you know, a few gamers essentially noticed that services for certain games, one in particular called The Crew, it's a racing game, they wouldn't be able to play it, even if they had a physical DVD of it or CD copy of it, wouldn't be able to play of it after a certain date last year, because the services provided that were technically made necessary by the publisher to make it work were being pulled from the internet, even though, so you have the physical copy in your hand and you still can't play it. And obviously a lot of people thought this was a bit ridiculous. So they're using a thing called the European Citizens Initiative, which is something the EU put into place there back in, I think, 2009 is when it was first brought in. And it's basically, you need to get 1 million signatures from at least 7 member states. This campaign's already cleared the 1 million comfortably. 22 member states were signatories, so they've got that. And that'll force the European Commission to address the issue. Now, it doesn't mean it has to pass a law, but it has to show what it, you know, has to have talks on it, has to have, like, you know, findings, and has to meet the campaigners and other interested parties, and then come with a ruling saying it's either going to try and bring a law forward in Europe, but if it's not, and this is where it gets very interesting for all the other media, they have to explain why they're not bringing it forward. So while this is about gaming to begin with, like you mentioned, their movies, like you might mention a movie, rent a movie off Sky Store, but there's also an option to buy. But how much do you really own that if Sky suddenly stopped providing the service that has to be there for you to watch that movie? But even then in work, like, you know, most of us are using Office 365, which is a subscription-based service. So we're using it on a lease system. And the EU historically, has, when it comes to especially anything tech, has been aggressively pro-consumer. So something like this, they will look at with the Commission, and based on their history, while they may not put any legislation forward, they're certainly going to start a very large conversation about what we actually own when it comes to digital media we have.
Yeah, because that sounds like then, what you, specifically in relation to games, that you're not actually buying it, you're kind of leasing it.
It's essentially, that's what the argument seems to be now, which, of course, if you've got like a physical copy in your hand, like I said, with this case, it wasn't just that it was an online game where you had to be online to share with people. The physical copy, so you couldn't even play on your own, because there had to be that internet connection to the server of the company that owned it. And the reason they're stopping essentially is they feel there isn't enough business in them maintaining the service as it is anymore in terms of profitability, which is fine to stop maintaining that service. But the problem is removing any access to play is where people basically have an issue. So what the Stop Killing Games group basically contends is they have to do one of two things, either A, keep providing service indefinitely, or B, and the more likely but kind of messier one is, be willing to hand over the service provision to another party that will make that possible. So that would obviously mean there'd be questions around intellectual property, questions around ownership, all sorts of things. So it's an interesting one. It's one certainly the EU is going to take a serious look at. And we've seen that with these as well, they have to act fast when it comes to citizens' initiatives. So we expect this to be filed with the EU around December. It could even be sooner. And within 6 months, the Commission has to have at least met with these people and have actually come to a finding, and again deciding if they're bringing anything forward. And really, again, you've got another 6 months then maybe for something to actually happen. So really by the end of next year, we should know an awful lot about this. And it goes, like I said, far beyond gaming.
Yeah. Now, but I assume the European Commission would meet with the petitioners, but then maybe they'd go and meet game developers
of the publishers have come out against this, but the rationale basically is of the cost involved to them. Either A, they've got to spend a lot of money to maintain support, or B, they lose control. Now, those on the Stop Killing Games side would say, well, we're giving you choices of what to do, essentially. Like, you know, and if you're not willing to let us access what we consider that we own, you've got to, you know, allow us to create a way that we can use the product we physically own. And it comes again down to, is it ownership or is it renting? And like, you think about most stuff we've had most of our lives, you know the difference between buying and renting something. And this blurring of the lines is getting more and more, obviously, you know, an aside against the consumer, which is why you look at this and you go, yeah, the Commission's going to have some interesting things to say to the publishers.
And I assume this is maybe a bit more complex than just, you know, there's two or three big social media companies. How many game developers would this might this affect if they brought in legislation?
Pretty much every big house, bar Valve, which is best known for running the Steam's store for selling games, has come out against it. Like, Valve has not said anything, largely because the way they provide support, they don't really have to worry about it. Like, so it's like, for them, it's like easiest to say nothing. So they don't really need to worry about whether it passes or not. But all the other ones, because they're immediately seeing either the cost or the loss of intellectual property, which is a cost in its own right, could be enormous for them. But again, that's because, you know, they, you know, tweak the terms and conditions to make what should be a purchase into a lease. And or at least we're still charging purchase price when it only was really a lease. And I think that's where people get very upset.
Yeah. And a lot of the game developers, would are they European based? Are they
you'd
American?
Have a broad mix. No, you'd have some based in Ireland, certainly. But like the big houses would be based between largely the EU and US. Like, and so, but like you're talking like, you know, to a name like your Ubisoft or Blizzard's or Activision's. Well, that's the same company as the last one. You know, but they're all pretty much, if you've heard of them or if you've heard of a game, the odds are the person that makes it doesn't want this to become a law.
Yeah. And is there any chance the companies themselves might do something in advance of the European Commission?
Extremely unlikely, entirely because of the timeline, to be honest. Like, they, you know, have obviously got a very beneficial situation to them right now. And any movement for them is basically weakening that position. So they'll probably want to see what the Commission says first. Like, the broad expectation is there won't be any recommendation of a law passed, but there will then be recommendations of further research and insights. And again, those will be accelerated compared to most legislative action at the EU level, which is going to get a few people talking, is the best way of putting it.
Yeah, and I assume that the games are withdrawn anyway because people just aren't buying it as much or leasing it as much.
Exactly.
Anymore.
Essentially, it's not that much a user because, like, with a lot of games now, you might buy the physical game first, that's your upfront expense. But the way these companies keep making money off them into the future is that there's, you know, in-game purchases you keep making. And when they reach a certain point or then drop to a certain point, they're not worth the money being spent basically on the energy to keep the servers on, basically.
Yeah.
And so they work, you know, it's all very cold and calculated. But again, that's because it can, you know, they're built in a way they can only operate online. Whereas obviously the gamers would argue, and same thing for people who watch movies would argue, or who, you know, use a word processor would argue, there should be a way I can still use it even if you're not providing me that connection.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, over a million signatures, though, that just shows that the games lobby is far more powerful. We kind of forget about that.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Emma, thanks a million for coming in to tell us about that. That was Emma Ryan there, tech journalist and columnist with the Irish Times.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.